You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And I'm not going to lie, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about today. I have sat here and racked my brain about the things that I want to talk about, and I can't find anything. I feel like we've covered pretty much everything that's happened so far in the off season. So I think we're just going to bring up different things and see where it takes us, because we're just kind of in a like a little quick dead period, right? Certainly we can touch upon the Matt Weiss replacement candidates. We've already touched on that. We can go into the NFL, some of the guys that are still playing. I don't find that particularly interesting, so we're probably not going to go into that. There's just a lot of different things that we could talk about. So let's start out with the candidates for Matt Weiss, because it does seem like if you're reading the tea leaves, if you're reading the inside boards, reading some of my good friends over at On3, it seems like we're starting to kind of get a better idea of who the candidates really are. And you've got, obviously, it seems like a lot of people really want Brian Griese. I'm not in that camp at all. While he has done a fantastic job for 1 year in San Francisco, there's nothing that really appeals to me about Brian Griese. Maybe it's just because of I've had a negative interaction with him, so maybe that's why. But to me, I don't necessarily see it as being like this high upside scenario. I feel like people that really want Brian Griese are more so just excited about the prospect because he won a national championship at Michigan. And I think people tend to get really excited about those Michigan guys, right? The same way that people are out there saying, like, Tom Brady, when he retires, bring him on. We don't know if he can coach. As exciting as that would be, now that still might be the type of out there type of move you make, regardless, right? Just because of the name, because everyone knows who Tom Brady is, that would kill in recruiting. Even if he can't necessarily coach a lick, and you can kind of guide him through the process. So, that said, Brian Griese's had a really good year with San Francisco. The one that really catches my eye is T. Martin, the former Tennessee quarterback, the successor, if I'm not mistaken, to Peyton Manning. He would be one that I'm personally very interested in. He was an incredible recruiter when he was at USC. He is with the Baltimore Ravens, which is kind of your immediate, like, well, yeah, duh, that's going to work, you know? So, to me, T. Martin checks pretty much all the boxes. The only box he doesn't check is the one that I care about the least, which is, does he already have ties to Michigan? I know there are a lot of people that really love that ties to Michigan portion. I don't particularly love it. I don't think it matters, especially when it comes to an assistant coach, because he already is a really good recruiter, and he did it at a school he didn't go to, which is USC. I mean, you look at the list of some of the guys he brought in, a lot of them were those types of guys that Michigan was really trying to get. Adoree Jackson comes to mind. So, get yourself a recruiter, and he could definitely be it. The others. Internal hire, Kirk Campbell. I don't know where that came from. The current analyst, I'm fine with that too. I mean, would I like something, someone that's maybe a little bit more established? Yeah, but everyone gets their start somehow, some way. And he already has experience, right? He already was an offensive coordinator at Old Dominion. So he's already a football mind. He's well thought of inside the building. And he's a guy that you know, the players already know and respect. And supposedly he's been involved in the recruiting aspect, at least from a behind the scenes standpoint. So with that in mind, I mean, he's absolutely fine. You don't necessarily need a splash hire. You just need a guy who can actually do the job, you know? So I would be interested to see where they decide to go, because there's a million different avenues they could go. Names escaping me. I think it's Tavita Pritchard, he was another Harbaugh acolyte. He was the offensive coordinator at Stanford. He played under Harbaugh. I might be butchering the name. I'm just trying to go off of memory here. He would be a decent option. I know people like the Greg Roman of it all, and some people hate it. I think that would be fine. Again, I don't know that he would do it anyway. I mean, he's been in the NFL more than he hasn't been. And then there's always the off-the-radar guy that no one was really even thinking about. You know, just like when Josh Gattis's name came up, it was when he was being hired and no one saw that coming. Now, you hope it works out better than that did. It worked out fine, but it didn't work out the way that most people thought it would. So in that light, I'd be curious to see where they decide to go. Certainly it could be one of the aforementioned, could be someone that we're not even talking about. But at the same time, Jim Harbaugh has mostly had a really good track record of bringing in coaches. He's had a couple years where it didn't really work. Then he kind of retooled things. So I think that's fine. So I'm curious to see as much as the next person. I have not delved into the waters of trying to ask the sources that I have that probably wouldn't know anything anyway. They are more personnel oriented. But I am curious to see which direction they end up going. All right. Well, we're going to continue on. We're going to see where my mind takes me. This is an adventure, gang. It's an adventure. The NFL playoffs are here. We are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America, and that's FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. I am going to be doing that this weekend 100%. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine. I did it again, second day in a row. You combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay, which is 100% what I'll probably be doing. So I don't know which bets I like yet. I have to figure that out. And it's the NFL, so don't take my advice anyway, even when I give it. Because I have not, I am 0-for this year when I've bet on the NFL. But it's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use, so football fans don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, I hate the idea of retreading some of the topics we've already covered, which is what we kind of just did. But there's only so much, and I don't really feel like talking about basketball. It's depressing. We're in the depressive state of basketball. Maybe I'll speak for a moment on personally what I like and what I don't like, because I think that would be instructive to some degree. So I am not the biggest basketball fan in general, and I certainly have had my moments where I was. Certainly the 2003-2004 Pistons was a ride I was along with the entire way. But once I moved to California, things kind of changed. I couldn't watch any Pistons games because I was at work all day. And by the time I got home, most of the games were over. So I didn't really watch the Pistons. And then the NBA changed. I still like college basketball, but I don't really like it until March Madness. Because to me, the regular season is mostly meaningless. It isn't completely meaningless. You got rivalries. You've got different things that make it exciting. It's definitely exciting. Some of my best memories were going to the NCAA tournament. I only covered it in person 1 year ever. That was 2017. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Went to Indianapolis and then Kansas City, overdosed on barbecue. But something about this time of year, certainly, that makes it difficult just for the sake of the weather in this area. It's awful going to basketball games. You park wherever you park, and then you walk over and it's freezing, and it's just the excitement inside Chrysler is, let's just face facts, it's pretty close to non-existent. There have been games here and there. North Carolina, like 4 years ago, I remember, was just super hype. But it's few and far between. So it's hard to kind of get up for that. Basketball in general is just it's a hard ask sometimes, especially if Michigan's not any good. Now, if it's good, I kind of become like a fair weather fan in a certain sense, right? It's more exciting for me to go and cover it. But when it's not like football. Football, to me, is exciting to go no matter what. I think that's probably most people out there. So, that's why we haven't had a lot of basketball talk. We just haven't. But I haven't watched the games in the way that I normally do, covering them. I haven't gone to the games because I did this whole move and was out of town for the bowl game. And I was still, you know, on vacation. And then you come back home, you got a couple road games, and now I can't find my credential. So that's the big part of why. Plus Sundays, we tried to devote that to church, and that hasn't, that's, I'm one for two on that. But nonetheless, it just doesn't have the same panache as basketball. And even when basketball is good, the post-game press conferences and the regular press conferences, they just do not have the same weight as football. Maybe it's the more, you know, less is not more in a lot of ways. It is in terms of games. But in terms of like the personnel and all of that, I really enjoy that about football, because you've got just these giant rosters that you have to try to keep track of. And sometimes you don't do a very good job of it. I remember none of us recalled, and I've shared this story on here before, I'm pretty sure. In 2019, we were all down for the Citrus Bowl, and I got a text from Chris Ballas, and he's like, have you seen Michael Dwumfor? This is like the fifth day out of the 7 days down there, right? This is like, we're getting down into it. I'm at a cigar bar in Orlando, and he's like, have you seen Michael Dwumfor at all this week? And I sat there and thought, and I'm like, I haven't. And he's like, okay, I don't think he's here. And he's like, and none of us caught this. No. He tweets it out. I write a story up. Get confirmation that he's not. Once that happened, got some choice words from Michael Dwumfor for not noticing. I am the worst at it, because I rode rides with the defensive line at Universal Studios on day one, and I noticed Luigi Villain wasn't with them, and they're like, and you're like, oh yeah, he's just over at the other park, right? We were in Islands of Adventure. He wasn't the Universal Studios proper. Okay. Did not notice Michael Dwumfor wasn't there. But that's the whole thing when you've got rosters of 85 scholarship players and like another 50 walk-on types. That's what makes it kind of, I think, more exciting in a lot of ways, is that there's more. It's the same difference between NFL and college football, right? 32 teams versus 131. I used to be the most ardent NFL guy. Until I finally started going to games my junior year of college. Before, finally, I had a temporary roommate. He was displaced. I welcomed him into my apartment. He slept on my couch. And he was just so adamant about Michigan football. And I was like, what are you doing, man? The Detroit Lions is where it's at, even though they are awful. And he's like, no, trust me. So I got us tickets. We went to the Wisconsin game in 2006. Sat in the student section, and I was hooked. My Lions fandom started plummeting in that moment. But it's one of those things where I remember there was like a barrier, an entry barrier of getting into college football to some degree, because there's so much more to keep track of. It's a lot more difficult if you are an average fan. That's why I think that Michigan fans, college football fans, are so much better in a lot of ways, because they are paying attention to a lot more of the landscape than the NFL. You look at the NFL, it's like, yeah, you got to pay attention to what, four divisions within two conferences compared to all these other conferences that have maybe, you know, maybe two divisions, maybe no divisions. And you've got Power Five and Group of Five. There's 10, and you're paying attention to at least the Power Five. That's way more exciting. The fact that you lose one game, it might not completely destroy your chances, but it comes really close. You lose two, it does. You know, in NFL, it's like, okay, that team, you know, lost to the Detroit Lions this year when, you know, not this year necessarily, this year they were a little bit better. But, you know, there are those times when, like, you know, the Patriots would come to town with Tom Brady and lose to the Detroit Lions. I'm thinking of that Matt Patricia year. Don't matter, right? Like, it doesn't matter. In 2012, the Lions beat the Seahawks, who went on to the Super Bowl, right? Or they were coming off the Super Bowl, something like that. I don't remember. Whereas it matters a lot in college football, and that's what just makes it better. So, yeah, that's just the name of the game. It's just a far superior sport. It's not all turned into the same sanitized version. It's every different stadium has a different kind of character, new or old. All the traditions, even when the marching bands for certain schools are completely inconsequential, I could not, if you put a gun to my head, I could not tell you at all how Penn State's fight song goes. But yet, my favorite venue is Beaver Stadium. And NFL just does not have that. There's just so many things that make college superior. So, all right, we are going to move on. We'll figure out something else to talk about here in just a moment. This is not for a lack of preparation. I sat there for an hour and tried to figure out what to talk about. And I ain't got nothing. Sometimes we're out, you just have too much. When we're doing this every day, sometimes we run out of some things. So I'm very thankful that we got the mailbag questions pouring in, because it is going to be absolutely necessary for Thursday's episode, and we can springboard off of that, and hopefully we'll get some news on some of these other scenarios. So let's discuss the idea of what Michigan could and should be in 2023. I think that is apt, even though we've again treaded some of that water already. I will say this at the top. This is my thesis statement. It would be a disappointment, beyond a disappointment, and I'll even go as far as saying it would be a failure if Michigan doesn't make the college football playoff again in 2023. It would be a failure. They could lose a game and make it, so that if they don't make it, chances are they've lost more than one. Really, there's only two candidates in my eyes that could take Michigan down, or like we can say three. Minnesota, I think, is a possibility. I don't know that they have the personnel to do it, but playing at Minnesota in front of a crowd, I think, is going to be a different scenario. Penn State at Penn State, I'm still not that afraid of what they offer. Usually when Michigan's gone to Happy Valley and lost, it's because Michigan's team hasn't been that good. When Michigan has gone and won, oftentimes it's because Penn State's team hasn't been that good. We have not really seen both happen, but I do think that Michigan should likely have a better team than Penn State. Because, I mean, teams change year over year with their quarterback change, going to Drew Aller, having those two running backs both being in their second year. Certainly they could take a big step forward. They shut down Nick Singleton and Catron Allen in Ann Arbor. But I remember thinking that going about, hey, they shut down Saquon Barkley last year, and then he runs all over him. Certainly that will be one that James Franklin will have circled, but I don't know that he's going to be able to do much about it. Then you have Ohio State, who's kind of in something of a similar boat. They'll probably roll through their schedule the way they always do. zero or one losses, certainly. You have certainly that they'll have tons of talented receivers. Quarterback, regardless of being a relative unknown, is talented. So they've got a lot still kind of going for them. But this one's in Ann Arbor. Not, I don't think at the time, the point that they come to Ann Arbor, any of them will have beaten Michigan. All the pressure will be on Ohio State. And the crowd will be against them, all kinds of different things. But that's really it. MSU does not have the talent. If Michigan loses to MSU, it is a failure on Michigan. And Michigan certainly has the motivation to go to East Lansing and do something about what happened in the tunnel. But outside of that, now the problem is when you look at the schedule, you've got two back-to-backs on the road. You've got the Nebraska-Minnesota in the middle of the season. And then you've got the Penn State-Maryland at the end of the season, right before Ohio State. But when you have as many guys as Michigan has coming back, especially at the quarterback position, wide receiver, running back, offensive line, there is no excuse for Michigan to not go at least 11-1 in the regular season. And I actually predicted Michigan to go 12-0. And if they don't, I think that would be, if they don't go at least 11-1, that is a failure. They go 11-1 and don't make it in the college football playoff because there's somehow four 12-0 teams, right? If it's, say, Penn State or Ohio State out of the Big Ten, and they end up being 13-0, say it's USC, Alabama, or Georgia out of the SEC, and let's say Clemson, I could see where, okay, they're not getting back to the college football playoff, but, I mean, that would be a failure. Because you wouldn't have beaten one of those, the team that you needed to beat. And you've got more going for you, more cohesiveness. Equal talent to Penn State, but more cohesiveness than Penn State at this juncture. So they need to find a way to get it done. It's a good place to be at, by the way. Because now there's expectations where not getting beyond Ohio State, not just beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten is not enough at this point in time for this Michigan football program. That is huge that is where this team is. All right, I think that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back with the mailbag, most likely, on Thursday, unless something comes up. That's what we're going to be doing. So thank you for watching and thank you for listening. We will be back very soon. Peace.